Chapter 7. One morning, there's the dead jellyfish of a used condom floating in the toilet. This is how Tyler meets Marla. I get up to take a leak, and there against the sort of cave paintings of dirt in the toilet bowl is this. You have to wonder, what does sperm think? This? This is the vaginal vault? What's happening here? All night long I dreamed I was humping Marla Singer. Marla Singer smoking her cigarette. Marla Singer rolling her eyes. I wake up alone in my own bed, and the door to Tyler's room is closed. The door to Tyler's room is never closed. All night it was raining. The shingles on the roof blister, buckle, curl, and the rain comes through and collects on top of the ceiling plaster and drips down through the light fixtures. When it's raining, we have to pull the fuses. You don't dare turn on the lights. The house that Tyler rents, it has 3 stories and a basement. We carry around candles. It has pantries and screened sleeping porches and stained glass windows on the stairway landing. There are bay windows with window seats in the parlor. The baseboard moldings are carved and varnished and 18 inches high. The rain trickles down through the house and everything wooden swells and shrinks. And the nails and everything wooden, the floors and baseboards and window casings, the nails inch out and rust. Everywhere there are rusted nails to step on or snag your elbow on. And there's only one bathroom for the 7 bedrooms. And now there's a used condom. The house is waiting for something, a zoning change or a will to come out of probate, and then it will be torn down. I asked Tyler how long he's been here. He said about 6 weeks. Before the dawn of time, there was an owner who collected lifetime stacks of the National Geographic and Reader's Digest. Big, teetering stacks of magazines that get taller every time it rains. Tyler says the last tenant used to fold the glossy magazine pages for cocaine envelopes. There's no lock on the front door from when police or whoever kicked in the door. There's 9 layers of wallpaper swelling on the dining room walls. Flowers under stripes, under flowers, under birds, under grass cloth. Our only neighbors are a closed machine shop, and across the street, a block-long warehouse. Inside the house, there's a closet with 7-foot rollers, for rolling up damask tablecloth so they never have to be creased. There's a cedar-lined refrigerated fur closet. The tile in the bathroom is painted with little flowers, nicer than most everybody's wedding china. And there's a used condom in the toilet. I've been living with Tyler about a month. Tyler comes to breakfast with hickeys sucked all over his neck and chest, and I'm reading through an old Reader's Digest magazine. This is the perfect house for dealing drugs. There are no neighbors. There's nothing else on Paper Street except for warehouses and the pulp mill. The fart smell of steam from the paper mill, and the hamster cage smell of wood chips and orange pyramids around the mill. This is the perfect house for dealing drugs, because a bazillion trucks drive down Paper Street every day. But at night, Tyler and I are alone for 1/2 mile in every direction. I found stacks and stacks of Reader's Digest in the basement, and now there's a pile of Reader's Digest in every room. Life in these United States. Laughter is the best medicine. Stacks of magazines are about the only furniture. In the oldest magazines, there's a series of articles where organs in the human body talk about themselves in the first person. I am Jane's uterus. I am Joe's prostate. No kidding. And Tyler comes to the kitchen table with his hickeys and no shirt and says, blah, 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 he met Marla Singer last night and they had sex. Hearing this, I'm totally Joe's gallbladder. All of this is my fault. Sometimes you do something, and you get screwed. Sometimes it's the things you don't do, and you get screwed. Last night, I called Marla. We've worked out a system, so if I want to go to a support group, I can call Marla and see if she's planning to go. Melanoma was last night, and I felt a little down. Marla lives at the Regent Hotel. which is nothing but brown bricks held together with sleaze, where all the mattresses are sealed inside slippery plastic covers. So many people go there to die. You sit on any bed the wrong way, and you and the sheets and blanket slide right to the floor. I called Marla at the Region Hotel to see if she was going to melanoma. Marla answered in slow motion. This wasn't a for real suicide, Marla said. This was probably just one of those cry for help things, but she had taken too many Xanax. Picture going over to the Regent Hotel to watch Marla throw herself around her crummy room saying, I'm dying, dying, I'm dying, 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 dying. This would go on for hours. So she was staying home tonight, right? She was doing the big death thing, Marla told me. I should get a move on if I wanted to watch. Thanks anyway, I said, but I had other plans. That's okay, Marla said. She could die just as well watching television. Marla just hoped there was something worth watching. I ran off to melanoma. I came home early. I slept. And now, at breakfast the next morning, Tyler's sitting here covered in hickeys and says, Marla is some twisted bitch, but he likes that a lot.